Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org and on the WDIY app. Today is March 2nd, 2022. The markets were up today with the Dow closing at 33,891, the NASDAQ at 13,752, and the S&P at 4,386. Our topic this evening is talking to your children about finances at any age. And I do have some special guests who will join us at about 6:45, so stay tuned for that. We will take your questions this evening. Eric is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. If you prefer not to speak live, give your question to Eric. He'll write it down and bring it into the studio. And that's the same phone number, 610-758-8810. So again, tonight's topic, talking to your children about finances at any age. Financial education starts early when raising children. Your own financial education and their financial education. Your children will emulate you more than anyone else. It's not just talking to your children as much as being a good example. And look at how you make your own financial decisions, how you talk and act about those, and what example you want to give your children. I find that there is some psychology around finances, and I'm not trained in that area, but I do find myself quite often kind of helping to guide folks. Quite often, you know, couples, there may be one partner that spends and another partner who likes to save, and it's about having that balance. It's also about the stress of finances, and when I say, you know, your financial education starts early when you're raising children, and I said yours and theirs as well, it's because we become very aware of our finances as we begin to raise children. Costs change, our goals change, and that usually involves some financial commitments, whether it's to a bigger house, a bigger car, college savings, additional expenses, that type of thing. So it's really important to be aware of how you react to finances and understanding where that comes from. Could it come from your own childhood, from your own experiences, from your own family? There are situations where you may be a spender, spender, spender because maybe you were raised in a home where your parents never spent and you want to live differently than them. Or your parents were those parents who never spent anything, and you're the same way. You never spend anything, and maybe you don't really live your life the way you could. And then when you get with a partner, there's a little battle with that and a little kind of reconciliation of those different approaches to handling finances. So you want to be aware of what is happening in your own reaction to your finances, and then how you are being an example to your children. So I thought I would actually take some time at the beginning of the show to share some of my own stories. I did grow up in a hardworking family. My parents had their own store. It was a hardware store. Six children. And we all worked. We all worked very hard. My parents did not have a college education. I started babysitting when I was 12. My brothers all started in the hardware store very young, at 12, I think, as well. So we all worked really hard. There were a number of times where I would have two or three jobs as well, and my siblings too. We paid for our own college education. My husband, a little bit of a different background, one of seven. Father a professor, mother a social worker, but raising seven children. And it was all about academics in their family and getting scholarships. And so they really didn't work a lot until he was much older. And then, you know, he worked and then could pay for some of the things for himself, like as I did. So we grew up similarly in that when we worked, we made enough money to pay for things ourselves. Well, then when we had children, we didn't want our children to have to work as hard as we did. And, you know, it was a different kind of upbringing. I'm not saying one is better than the other, but it's just different. But let's talk about some of the ways we can start with some financial education for our children. I guess going back to my own childhood at 12, I mean, I had my own money. My parents did not talk to me about it. They did not monitor it. They helped me open a savings account. But from then on, it was, you know, whatever I wanted to do with my money. No one ever told me anything. But if I wanted clothes, I had to pay for my clothes. You know, and then when I got into high school, gas, I had to pay for my own gas. I paid for my own lunches. Paid if I went to a dance or a basketball game and had to buy a ticket. That was all my own. And I have no awareness of having a budget. I just know that if I made money and I had money to spend, you know, that's what I did. I was very aware of buying nice clothes that would last a while, classic kind of clothes, because I couldn't afford to be trendy. I couldn't afford the Gloria Vanderbilt jeans at the time. I bought nice clothes that, you know, I wore, you know, over and over, and still to this day I do. So then fast forward to having my own children. I know that when they wanted something, if they had to pay for it themselves, then it was something they may not have wanted. So if we went to a store and my kids wanted something, they'd say, yeah, I want that. Can I have that? Can I have that? And I'd say, well, you know, if you really want it, you have your own money to pay for it. Do you want to do that? And all of a sudden, the answer would be different than, no, they didn't really want it anymore. So they'd want it if I paid for it, but they didn't need it if they had to pay for it. You see the difference? Want and need. So we do talk about that. And that would be something when you're having conversations with raising children to keep in mind. Let's talk about wants and needs. We all want things, but do we need them? And I'm not one of those CPAs who says don't spend something. You know, I do believe in living life a little bit, but let's think about it a little bit more. Let's be a little bit more thoughtful about what we're doing. For example, and I've told this story before on the show about teaching my children marketing. And this is when they were young enough to sit in a shopping cart. We'd be in the grocery store and they would want the macaroni and cheese that had Snow White on the box. I love this example because it's so memorable for me. And I said to them, kids, Snow White is not in the box. Snow White is just on the box to get your attention, to make me want to buy that macaroni and cheese because you see the picture of Snow White. The macaroni and cheese was just the regular noodles, nothing special about it. So I would say to them, do you know what that is? They're trying to make a decision for us. They're not letting us make our own decision about what we want to buy. They're trying to trick us into buying something based on marketing. And the kids would learn. And after a time, I would say, kids, when they'd say, you know, we want that, we want that. And I'd say, kids, what are they trying to do here? And then they'd say, marketing. And so they kind of learned, hopefully, you know, to be more disciplined in shopping and be more aware of the triggers in shopping and what tries to attract people. Folks, we are already at our first break, and I'm going to go through a few more stories, and then I do want to share some resources for you. And we are going to talk about adult children, too. I'm not talking just about young children, which I'm going to start with, but we're going to talk about our adult children as well and financial conversations we should be having with them as well. So if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 4.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You are listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1 and also available at WDIY.org or on the WDIY app. We are talking to your children about finances at any age. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Eric and he'll write it down and bring it into the studio. I will mention that next week I'm doing listeners' tax questions again because we had so many calls over the last couple times I've done that. So next week we'll do listeners' tax questions again. So let me go through some more of these stories because, you know, I think some of what I've gone through with my own children, some of what I've gone through in being a financial advisor for as long as I have been, some of this rings true. And I just think it's really important to talk about finances with your kids at any age. I really do. I really encourage it. And it doesn't mean you have to share numbers all the time either. So let me give you a few more stories. So while we helped our children with their education, their undergrad, they had to have their own spending money. So as the kids were growing up, they were young, they would get presents. They would get monetary gifts. So many people do monetary gifts now because so many kids have so many things already. So we would tell our kids, whether it was their birthday or holidays, whatever it might be, half of the money has to go into the bank as savings. The other half they could use to buy the gift. So someone would give them, for example, let's say $20 for their birthday and say, you know, you go buy yourself something. So we would tell the kids half of it had to go in the bank. The other half they could go buy something with their money. So as they got older, though, that money that they had saved up in the bank that they, you know, the other half or what they didn't use for, you know, buying gifts, that was going to be their spending money when they went to college. We never paid them an allowance. We did give the kids money if they went above and beyond. So, for example, let's pretend my husband was doing work in the yard and, you know, one of the kids went and helped. Then we would say, you know, here's $20. Thanks for helping, that kind of thing. So they would get some extra money that way as well. So that was kind of teaching the kids that they could choose to use some of the money for some of the gifts, but there was always a saving element, you know, to everything that came in. Now, my husband taught me some great lessons when we were first together as well. And what we ran into, we'd go shopping, for example, and I'd say, oh, this is on sale. This is such a good deal. It's on sale. I have to get it, blah, blah, blah. I worked retail for many years, so I knew the value of a sale. But he reminded me that things are always on sale, right? Doesn't it seem like there's always sales? So why did we have to get caught up in the idea of a sale in that moment where we felt like we had to buy right then? He'd say, you know, there will be another sale. And it kind of like would make me kind of stop the fury or the, you know, the urgency of having to buy. You could walk away. And then he said, you know, if you really, really want it, we walk away. And you, if you remember it later, we can come back and get it. And I can't tell you, probably 9 times out of 10, we never went back. I mean, so I'd say, okay, I'll wait. And then I would completely forget about what it was that I thought I needed immediately. You can say the same thing to your children. It does teach restraint and discipline. And I think it also goes back to, you know, as I said, I always had my own money, but I did really watch for sales and was careful about how I spent money. But I did get caught up in the fervor of sales, and you don't really need to with that either. Our kids see us buy used cars, for example, and we take good care of those cars. I have a 2012 car. I can afford a new car, but my 2012 car is great, and I take good care of it, and I really like it, so I'm going to keep my car as long as I can. My husband drives a 2014. Our son, who's 25, he is still living at home. He graduated from college, and then, you know, COVID hit, and so he kind of had a little bit of a time finding a job, which he does have now, but he's working remotely. And he figures, well, you know, as long as I can continue to work remotely, we don't mind having him. He knows he's saving money, works out well. But what we asked him to do is during that period, and he continues to do still, even though he's working now, is to manage our bills for us. So some of you might think, oh my gosh, why would you have your 25-year-old write your bills? He knows about all your financial stuff. Yes, he does. And we don't mind. He is an adult. He's a smart kid. And it helps him. It helps him understand about paying on time and how it can affect credit if you don't pay on time. He sees how paying extra on a mortgage makes the principal go down faster. He sees that paying off the credit card bill every month avoids the high finance charges that he also sees on the statement where it says if you don't pay, but we do pay off every month, and he sees that we pay it off every month. He sees recurring charges on the statements, and he's recommended a review of the services we have to cut unnecessary costs. And he started, you know, realizing for himself it would be a good idea if he had credit. So he got a credit card, and he pays it off every month, and he does a great job. And, you know, he's gotten into very good habits with doing that. He did start a job. He's doing great. He contributes to his 401k, and he's saving outside of the 401k as well. He's building up a savings account for when he does get his own place and has to do a first and last month, you know, deposit and buy furniture and that type of thing. And he, you know, has the mantra that you don't put more on the credit card than you can pay off each month. He probably buys a little bit more than I'd like him to, but for, you know, it's his money and he's doing a good job. So I let him do that. He also drives a used car. It's a 2011. So there's a little theme here with the cars. Our older daughters don't carry any credit card balances and have no debt from their graduate studies. They knew that graduate work would be their own responsibility. One paid it off within 2 years, and the other's doing an online program and paying as she goes. That's how she's budgeting that. And my oldest daughter went to the University of Chicago. It wasn't cheap. And my second daughter's going to William & Mary. So they both have been in great programs, both paid for their own, and were really smart about how they did it. My older daughter, she shares a car with her husband, and my second daughter drives a 2007. So one of the things we've learned in our family is that you take good care of your cars. Cars are very expensive. You know, homes are probably the biggest purchase we'll ever have. Cars are another big purchase that we'll have, especially even young people. When you venture out into the world, maybe after college graduation, you get that first job, you can't wait to get a new car. Just think about that, because cars can be very expensive. It can take a real bite out of your monthly budget, and you want to be a little bit practical about it. It's a great way to, you want a safe car. Don't get me wrong. You want a safe car, but cars do cost a lot of money, and you can save a lot by taking good care of the car that you have and kind of keeping it as long as you can. I suppose, I'm going through all of this and you're like, right, Lori, why should we even listen to you? You're a financial advisor. So I do hope, I expect that it does help that their mom's a financial advisor, but you don't have to be to set the tone for making good financial decisions. Don't be afraid to talk about these in front of your children. You don't have to give those numbers, as I said earlier. And you can start by having some of this, at the dinner table, talking with your children at the dinner table. And it helps raise that financial awareness for them, and then even might help you reflect on your own financial awareness. So we'll talk a little bit more about some of these things and how you can talk to your children as we get older. There's going to be bigger conversations we're going to have with our adult children. All right. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Psst! Did you know that your phone is a radio? You can tune in to WDIY anywhere on the go with WDIY's phone app. Download for free from the Apple or Google store, and your phone will become your trusted radio. The easy-to-use app lets you listen to WDIY on your phone live and access your favorite music shows on demand. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to Many Choices, Real Voices.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1, also available at WDIY.org and on the award-winning WDIY app. If you have questions, you can send them through the website at any time at yourfinancialchoices.com. If you have questions for us tonight, and it could be off topic as well, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we will be joined by a couple guests to intro a new segment at WDIY, and that'll be at 6:45. Tonight we are talking about talking with your children about finances, basically, at any age. So starting with, as I mentioned, when my kids were old enough to be in the grocery store shopping cart, so we were having conversations about marketing. As we got older, the kids would we would talk about the cars, and we would buy used cars, and we keep our used cars, and we pay off our credit cards every month, and how it's really important that you develop credit and that you do a good job paying off your credit cards, because getting good credit will impact your ability to get an apartment, will eventually affect your ability to get a good loan for a mortgage, for a home, or for a car. So it's all really good habits. Start with these good habits early. And you, as parents of these children, can be good examples. Your children emulate you more than anybody else. I love also the other example I've talked about frequently on the show. I've been doing this for a very long time, since 2007. So some of you will hear the same stories over and over. I remember when the kids were little and we'd go out to eat. We'd go to Wendy's back in the day, and we'd say, what do you want to drink? Water, 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 water. And to this day, it just cracks me up, because we'll go to restaurants and they'll come up and they'll say, what would you like to drink? And, all my adult children, water, 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 water. It's just really funny. So what can you do at the dinner table? Let's talk at the dinner table. It could start, kind of introducing some of these topics. So we can say, we work We go to our jobs and they pay us for the skills that we have. So you want to promote education to develop a skill that someone will pay you money to share your experience and your expertise and that kind of thing. So we work and we get paid so that we can afford, you know, our home, our food, our cars, clothes, you know, the utilities, the lights, the water. You know, the kids have to understand that turning on the lights, turning on the water, turning on the air conditioning or the heater, that all costs money and we have to pay for it. So it's okay to talk about that, that we're working so that we can take care of some of these expenses. It's not just, you know, automatically there. But that at some point when we're older, we're going to stop working. We're going to be able to rest. It's called retirement. And so we're not only having to save today to pay for these expenses that we have today, but we're also saving for the day when we're not working anymore. So we have to save extra money while we're working to pay for our retirement. You want to make sure that you have an emergency reserve. So what's an emergency reserve? Tell the kids, just like we told our kids, half your money goes into the bank. That's a savings account. That's for later when you need it. Same thing for you as adults or parents. We want an emergency reserve. An emergency reserve, folks, is what's getting us through these rocky markets. We want to have an emergency reserve. Rocky markets, unknown employment situations, you want to make sure you have an emergency reserve. And that's a backup plan. It's similar, you know, I equate it to studying in school. So you can work for the grades today. You know, you're working for your, you know, your grades to do well in school. That's going to help you maybe get a scholarship or get a good job in the future. And that helps, obviously, in your future earning potential, that type of thing. As we age, many of us will have children. We'll rely on them to help out with financial decisions, or we'll name them as an executor, a trustee, or a power of attorney. So having conversations with them about this stuff really helps them as well. So, you know, we're already talking to my son about this. And, you know, my daughters are older. And so sometimes people think, oh, the son takes over or the oldest child takes over. No, from my perspective as a parent, when you're considering who you're going to have as an executor or a guardian or a trustee or a power of attorney or a healthcare power of attorney, you want to look to see who's going to fit that bill for you and who would want to do it. My daughters have said, Mom, no interest, no interest at all, don't want to do it. But I'm sure they're very, very smart girls, and I'm sure they would be, you know, happy to help as well. My son does have some, you know, his degree is in financial planning and accounting. So it is kind of in his wheelhouse to do this. But you want to kind of talk that through and, you know, make them aware of where you keep your financial information. Where are your files? Where are your folders? Where's your will? That type of thing. So when you're talking to your adult children, they do need to understand the responsibility and importance of all of that that you're asking them to do. And then what sometimes happens, and why it's important to talk to them about it is because you can't predict life events, folks. I've had too many things happen in recent years. My brother-in-law passed away at, I think he was 57 at the time. I've had friends pass away at 68 who seemed, you know, completely healthy just months before. So we cannot predict life events. You do want to address these things. Some people don't do it because they're afraid. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to face their own demise. I say go like full force into it. Just face it and make sure you're taking care of, you know, your financial decisions. You want to make sure that your loved ones, if they're relying on you, and maybe you're the person who's working and bringing in the money, if something happens to you, do you have life insurance? Now, if you're not talking about this with either your spouse or your children, there could be undue angst or stress you know, relating to this. If you're not open and you're too private, then there could be worries. I have heard children say, I say, you know, like when we're doing financial planning, we'll say, do you have any responsibility for any, you know, relatives that you might have, like your parents? And from time to time, they'll say, you know, I have no idea if my parents are okay. I don't know what they have. If we have to help them out, you know, I would like to be able to do that. I've had parents say about their adult children, you know, my adult children may need something. I might want to make sure I have something set aside for them. So it can go both ways. But I think if it helps you to have a conversation with them, it helps them as well, because sometimes our adult children haven't done their own financial planning either, or their own estate planning. And, you know, as you know, some people don't know, is that if you don't have a plan and you don't have an estate plan, the assets don't always go where you think they're going to go. So you want to make sure that you're taking care of that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back. And then I'm going to talk about some tools that are available out there from some of the government websites that I like. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDOY Allentown, the time is now 6:30. Tonight, your current temperature is 45. Tonight, it's going to be low around 36. And Saturday, we're going to have a chance of showers and snow, high 42. Thursday night, it's going to be low 15 degrees. And for your Friday, it's going to be mostly sunny, high 39. Friday night, low 23. Saturday is going to be mostly cloudy, high 48. And Saturday night, low 35. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can also send questions through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. And I also appreciate show ideas. Now, I have had people ask recently about doing something on cryptocurrency. For the most part, I have avoided that. But at some point, I can work on trying to put something together for that. So that will be on the agenda. And if you have any other ideas, I had someone recently ask me to do a show on business entities and choosing business entities. And that was a great show. That was a couple weeks ago. We had Tom Riddle on to talk about choosing a business entity. And he's done that many times in his career. So show ideas are always welcome. And you can send those through yourfinancialchoices.com. So just to kind of talk a little bit more about talking to your children about finances at any age, starting young, talking about having them in the shopping cart, a little older, sitting around the dinner table, talking about, you know, maybe even the cost of food, the utilities, the water we're used to wash the dishes, little older, buying a car, savings, what are they doing with those monetary gifts they're getting? What's the difference between a want and a need? They want it when mom and dad are paying for it. They need it if they pay for it. So it's a good way to kind of differentiate there. Now, as adults, when I think a time to talk about some of these things is quite often around the holidays, because families are gathered together. Quite often the siblings might come together. It's an opportunity to say, hey, mom and dad, did you guys do your estate planning? Do you have wills? Did you figure that out? You know, we don't really talk about those things, but do you have it organized? Do you know what you want? Do you want a funeral? Do you want to be cremated? Do you want to be buried? Do you have life insurance? Are you making the payments on that? You know, And it's not to offend anyone or act like you're money grabbing. It's to really kind of reduce the stress around making sure that your parents are going to be okay in their later years. And, you know, who is going to be responsible if they need a little help? Whether that help is financial or that help is, you know, as a power of attorney, taking care of, you know, writing checks and bills and things like that. All right. So let me, and I had a listener ask a question a couple weeks ago about long-term care, and he realized he was going through that with his parents and considering what would happen if they needed it. And he had a realization that he may need to review that for himself and his wife. And it's the same concept, whether it's long-term care or having a will or a power of attorney. It's worth a discussion. So these conversations that I'm talking about tonight with children about finance and financial education isn't just about when they're young. It's about them as adults as well. And so many people are afraid to do it because they don't want their kids to know how much money they have. You don't have to talk money. Talk concepts. So some websites that I think are good, and this was interesting because when I searched for financial education, you know, topics, and I always type .gov for .gov. A website came up from Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, and I thought that was interesting. But they had a segment on financial literacy for children, and they said April is the financial literacy month. And it's a month focused on raising awareness about the importance of planning for a secure financial future. So that's just around the corner, a month away. And financial literacy isn't just a skill for adults. It's teaching kids about finances can help them be better prepared to manage money as adults. And then they had some free resources. So if I'll give you, I think I don't have the same links here, but just go to either Department of Homeland Security or search in your box financial education. But some tools were the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau had a lot of resources to help teach your children about money, and they have developed over 250 learning activities for every age group from preschoolers through high school students. There's also a website, mymoney.gov, so I do have a link there, mymoney.gov. I've talked about that website in the past as well. That's a resource page for kids and youth with fun activities, video games, links to other websites that can help kids learn how to save money, how to be a smart consumer, and how to create a budget to meet their financial goals. And the FDIC, we know the term FDIC. That's what we see on our banks, windows, and you know, other places. It's the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. They've developed the Money Smart for Young People curriculum. Each age-appropriate curriculum includes lesson plans for educators along with guides for parents and caregivers. And there's more tools available there as well. Let me dig into one of the tools from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They have learning about the building blocks of youth financial education, and they break it down into different functions, and one of them is executive function. And it said executive function is the first, and they go into financial habits and norms, knowledge and decision-making skills, and the research behind it. And they focus on these different types of functions. The executive function skills help stay focused, help people stay focused and manage the flow of information. Day to day, these skills allow a person to pay attention, plan ahead, remember details, and juggle multiple tasks. They also help control their behavior and emotions, delay immediate rewards for future benefits, and continue forward when faced with challenges. And it's interesting to me when I was reading this because I thought, wow, some of these things I feel that I was doing with my own children kind of naturally. financially. And so many of you may be doing that as well. And it's all good steps toward that. So teaching young children how to have self-control and think before they act lays the groundwork for good financial skills in the future. And they have, more details about that. So, for example, they have a table and they talk about what the building blocks look like at three stages of development and how the skills and abilities relate to adult behavior associated with financial well-being. So a milestone for executive function for, let's say, ages 3 to 5 begins to control their own behaviors and emotions. And what it might look like in adulthood is thinks twice before buying, avoids making emotional purchases, avoids financial temptations. So think about this, ages 3 to 5 begins to control their own behaviors and emotions. One of the things I also did with my children, because remember, I worked retail when I was young. I started working retail when I was 15 years old and for many, many years. And I'd see the parents come in with their kids screaming and yelling and crying for candy or whatever it might be. And I thought, I am not going to be one of those parents. And we can't always control that, so no judgment here. But I would tell my children before we went into the store, just so you know, kids, we are not buying anything extra. We're going in to buy these items, and we are not buying anything extra. Just so you know, if you ask for something, we're not getting it. And we'd go into the store. They're good as gold. We'd walk out. They didn't cry or scream for anything because they knew they weren't getting it. Now, if I had, would acquiesced at some point and gave them something, then they wouldn't have learned that, I'm telling the truth. We're not going to go in and buy something. We also would reward our children when they, had really good behavior and worked well with each other at home and didn't fight and loved each other, which they still do to this day. We'd say, okay, we're going to go to the bookstore and you get to pick out books. And we'd buy them books. And this was like a huge, huge treat. It became a family event, quality time. They all still love reading today. So it's really just wonderful. Some of the other milestones for executive function: begins to stay focused and complete tasks. Well, that's funny because in my report card since kindergarten said, Lori's not good at completing tasks. I always need, a time constraint and a timeline and an adrenaline rush to get my things done. But what it looks like in adulthood is follows a budget, sticks to a shopping list. So that's good. Speaking of shopping list, my husband created a shopping list for the grocery store and has, the frequently purchased items all on the shopping list. And that's what we use to check off. And so typically, if you walk into the store with a shopping list, you're more likely to stay disciplined to that shopping list. There's a number of other things here. Let me skip quickly to middle childhood, ages 6 to 12. They say milestones for executive function delays immediate reward for future benefit. Again, what that looks like in adulthood saves money now for an item they want later. That goes to kind of my story about the kids having to save half their money in the bank account. And if they wanted to buy something, if they really wanted something, they would have to pay for it themselves. And it really made them think twice. Begins to think about how current actions may lead to future results. So between ages 6 to 12, begins to think about how current actions may lead to future results, kind of cause and effect. And we start seeing cause and effect with kids very, very young. So 6 to 12, this is where they start to develop their conscience, right, by age 12. What it might look like in adulthood puts money in the bank to earn interest and increase future savings. Let's go to adolescence and young adulthood, ages 13 to 21. Thinks about the long term and believes there will be opportunities in the future. So, you notice when kids are in high school and they start thinking about college and going out on their own, that's when they start thinking about that future. They start seeing themselves separate from their parents. This is a great opportunity to start talking to them about, taking responsibility for their actions. When I was in high school applying to college, I had to do it all on my own. I filled out the financial aid form all by myself, had to ask my parents for their tax return to submit with it, but I did it all. And nowadays, I think parents do so much of this for their children, but it's really a good idea for the kids to kind of have that experience for themselves, understand what the FAFSA is, understand what the financial information that they're requesting. Same thing with the tax return. If you have a high schooler who has a W-2, is working, employed, making money, have them do their own tax return. You can get the tax returns basically free probably for the kids on the IRS's website, irs.gov, and you can file your Pennsylvania return if you're a Pennsylvania resident through the PAE file, and lots and lots of opportunities. Folks, we are coming up on our last break, and I am excited when we come back. I'm going to introduce two special guests to Your Financial Choices and to WDIY. We will be back in just a moment.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're all right.
Well, welcome.
Yeah.
Hi. Hello, welcome.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. And we have some special guests on our topic this evening where we're talking about talking to your children about finances. Well, we have some children to talk about finances. And I want to welcome to the show Sonika and Jay Kotari. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, how are you this evening?
We're good. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited. I've been watching some of your information. So we've been talking about financial education for children at any age. And I hope that you can tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves so they have a picture of who you are, where you go to school, how old you are, if you don't mind sharing a little bit of that. And then we'll talk about why you're visiting us this evening.
Yep. Hi, I'm Sonika, and I am 16 years old. I'm in 11th grade, and I go to Parkland High School in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And some of my interests and hobbies I have include traveling, dancing, photography, cooking. I also really like to participate in my community. I'm a founder of an international nonprofit organization, a classical dancer, a local Sunday school teacher, and involved in some clubs and activities through school as well. And with my brother, Jay, I developed a program called Money Matters in the summer of 2020. And we did this together because we had a passion to advocate for financial literacy and spread awareness about the importance of personal finance for students especially. And through this, for the past year and a half, we've been working on this, doing this through classes, through YouTube videos, through blog posts, and overall just trying to make our impact on the community.
I love it, Sonika. And Jay, what about you? Tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Yeah, hi. My name is Jay, and I go to Parkland High School. I'm in 9th grade, and I'm 14 years old. And yeah, I started the Money Matters program with my sister in the summer of 2020. And we've been teaching young kids and adults through our blogs and lessons, as well as different classes we hold. So that's just about Money Matters. But outside of Money Matters, in school, I participate in other clubs like Political Science and Math League. And outside of school, I have other hobbies such as cooking and sports.
Wow, your parents must be so proud of you guys. Well, you know, I'm excited that anybody is interested in talking about financial education. It's why I do the show here on WDIY. I say we have some of the most sophisticated listeners, and I think we have some of the most sophisticated students right here willing to help other students. So let's talk a little bit about what got you interested in it, though. What was the spark that made you so passionate about this? Who started first, Sonica? Was it you who kind of got onto this? Was it your parents talking to you at the dinner table, I hope, like I've just talked about?
So I think it started for both of us around the same time. It was when we were off from school, like right when COVID started.
Oh, yeah.
And we've always been exposed to personal finance and just talking about money management and everything through our parents. But this was the moment, like, we sat down and we were like, yeah, we need to kind of think about this and learn more about this because it's so important to our futures. And we got really interested in these topics, especially because in the next few years, like, we're going to college. So it's really going to impact us then. So that, like, when that, like, realization hit, I think that's when we began thinking about expanding this to other students and really advocating about this, because I don't think that anyone really talks about it, especially in school and everything.
We don't
really, like, hear about it. So that's where we kind of came up with this idea and then launched it.
It's funny, my own 25-year-old son, who's, you know, was an accounting major and financial planning major, he said, Mom, you know, they just need to teach this in high school. They need to teach it. They need to teach it. And they really don't. Jay, what about you? Can you give me an idea, like, your interest in this as well? Do you get an allowance, if I can ask that? Or have you ever had a job like mowing lawns or kind of earning some money that you've managed your own money?
Yeah, so, well, I don't have an allowance, but I
like, didn't give my kids one either. Go ahead.
I've learned how to manage my money through, like, different things, such as just if I earn gifts from my parents, let's say, and I get birthday gifts of, like, let's say, like, $50 for my birthday, I'll save some and I'll see if I want to invest them for later, and I'll kind of manage my money that way. And if I want to spend on something, I'll, like, ask my parents if it's a good thing to spend on, or I'll make sure what the benefits are of that and what the disadvantages are of that, and just in general, like, how do I manage this money? So I don't have, like, a real job so far, but I guess just my home job.
That's how my children started as well, though, with their gifts. Yeah, you might not have been able to hear the first part of the show, but that's how my children started as well. They would save those gifts, those birthday gifts or holiday gifts. So that's really great. And I love that you used a key word. You said, you know, you'll discuss it with your parents to say the disadvantages or the advantage of maybe a purchase that you want to make. Your parents are not your enemies. Your parents want to help you. And I think it's really important that parents talk to their children about these matters as well. So we do have some big news for our listeners, and that you both will be hosting a program on WDIY Public Affairs, premiering tomorrow night, that's Thursday night at 6 p.m., and it's called Teen Money Matters. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we're so excited to start this. I think we kind of reached out and we were talking about this idea, and it finally became a reality, and that's really crazy to us. But overall, what we plan to do in this program is we'll spend half the time talking to a local teen perspective about different topics in personal finance. We are starting off our first episode tomorrow with saving and budgeting, which is truly like the foundation of personal finance. And we talk to a teen perspective for 15 minutes, and then the rest of the time we talk to a local financial expert. Ooh. So we have like two different perspectives that we can get together and talk about with, and through that our goal is to teach our audience about different things in personal finance.
Okay, so you're going to have different topics each time you do it, and and how often will the program air? Is it going to be a quarterly or monthly or weekly? How often will it be on?
It'll be once every 2 months, so okay. 5 times a year.
Okay, wonderful. And so you're going to talk to a teen tomorrow night and a local financial expert. Yep. It wasn't me, because Whoops. I guess I was too busy. Do you know who you're having tomorrow night, or who was it?
Yeah, so for our teen guest, we're having William Ray from Parkland High School.
Okay.
And for the professional, we're having Alex Lipianik from QNB Bank. He's the vice president of commercial banking there.
That's wonderful.
So we're really excited to feature that tomorrow.
Yeah, that's really good. And so saving and budgeting was one of the topics. What other kinds of topics do you think you'll cover?
So we have like a whole list of topics that we've already been planning out. Some of the things include investing, the stock market, housing, paying for college, which is a huge thing for students, paying for like car expenses, investments, retirement. So like a whole host of topics.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, the goal is to really touch on the things that impact people the most and talk about them and really inspire people to pursue their own education in finance.
Mm-hmm. Because some of the things that you're going to talk about, though, you guys haven't even had to experience yet.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
You probably haven't had to buy a car. You haven't had to pay for college yet. I will tell you a couple things with my own children. So, for example, my oldest daughter, was kind of new going to college. Her job, her entire academic life was get a scholarship. And she did, but we still had to pay a decent amount, mm-hmm. after that. My second daughter, very athletic, and we said, just get an athletic scholarship. And she did. She got a full ride. That was really a good way to go.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
Then my son, also very smart, but he didn't get an academic scholarship or an athletic scholarship. But we had said to our children, if you save money on college for us, when you come out of college and you're all done, we're going to give you money.
Mm-hmm.
So the money that we set aside for their college, to the extent that they could, you know, work on where they went, you know, if they go to a public university versus a private university, then they benefited that way. I had also had an intern here many years ago who was at college. He was at Temple. And I had him do a little segment. We had him go interview fellow students to ask them, how did they pay for college? How much loans did they have for college?
Mm-hmm.
Do they know how much the loans cost? And are they paying back any of the interest at this point?
Right.
And it was interesting. So he did this little study, and he found out the kids had no idea how much they had in loans or how much they were paying for these loans. So I really appreciate that you're doing this and that you're starting early, even if you haven't had quite all of the same experience. You're educating yourself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So you guys are doing this like after school, your extra education? When are you having the time to kind of look up all this stuff?
So we have we do our own research on like the weekends and after school whenever we have free time from our school activities and homework.
Mm-hmm.
But we mainly just learn from our parents are a big help, of course. They
mm-hmm.
teach us a lot about personal finance since they've experienced it themselves throughout so many years, but
mm-hmm.
Online we look at different resources, different videos, just to learn the basic concepts, and we kind of build our own perspectives in that way to see what's best for us. And since every situation is different, we have different perspectives. So
I love it. It's curiosity.
Yeah,
and, you know,
definitely.
Curiosity will take you through so many
mm-hmm.
Opportunities in life. There was something I had just had a thought. You were a scout, Jay, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're still in scouts.
Yeah, I'm still in scouts.
I used to be a scout leader, and we had badges. And one of them was, like, cash, and one of them was finance. And we talked about the risk. And so I would have these Girl Scouts, and I had them track stocks. So each week, they would pick the stocks they'd like. And each week, we'd pull out the Wall Street Journal, and we'd look at the stock prices. And they would track how their stocks were doing each week. But we talked about taking risk and how you can make more money taking risk. But you have to understand what risk is. So money in the bank, cash in the bank, you're not taking much risk. You're not earning much money. Stock market up and down, which you guys will eventually talk about,
mm-hmm.
hopefully, on your teen talks. So that is going to be called Teen Money Matters. But you also have videos and YouTube videos, right? And so if people are interested in kind of checking some of those out, do they just Google Teen Money Matters? to find it?
If you Google Money Matters on YouTube, you'll be able to find the videos. We have a YouTube channel, and on that we post videos on different topics. So we're going through like a sequence of different, like in stages. So we've done lots of videos on saving and budgeting so far, and we're improving on those. Adding new videos as we can.
Okay. Well, Jay and Sonica, thank you so much for being here. We're all very
excited
to
be
here at WDIY. I'm so excited about teaching the next generation. It's so needed, that discipline. So, Teen Money Matters. So welcome to the Public Affairs family of programming here at WDIY. And we do look forward to hearing from both of you tomorrow night at 6 p.m. with Teen Money Matters during Lehigh Valley Discourse. And I hope that you have time to listen to my shows from time to time as well. Folks, next week we are going to take listeners' tax questions because it is that time of year and it seems to always be a very popular topic. You can also send questions through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com and I'll do my best to answer those. I want to thank Eric for being here this evening and thank our listeners, thank our guest, Sonica and Jay Kotari, who will be hosting our new WDIY Lehigh Valley Discourse segment on Teen Money Matters, which will debut tomorrow night at 6 p.m. with a local student guest and the vice president from QMB Bank to talk about both perspectives on saving and budgeting. Thank you so much. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.